All right, now let's look at this question of the headship of Adam. Through him came to the race sin and death. And I'd like to read verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now I trust you have our notes and outlines of Romans, and better still, I hope many of you felt that you'd like to have part in supporting our program, and you've sent for our first volume on reasoning through Romans. And I have in this volume, through this section, my own translation of the verses that we're considering. That is where we think that by translating we can bring out the meaning a little bit better. Now, don't misunderstand me. I do not recommend this translation at all. The fact of the matter is, we call it here in Southern California the McGeachus ad absurdum translation. Nobody ought to use it. But now listen to it as we have it here, and I think that probably we can widen out our understanding of this section. On this account, that is the plan of salvation for all by one Redeemer, just as through one man's sin entered into the world and death through sin, and so death spread throughout upon all men on the ground of the fact that all sin. Now we need to understand here that the sin we're talking about is not the sin that you and I commit that brings death. It's the sin of Adam, that first sin of Adam. Not his second one, or his third one, his fourth one, but that first sin. Disobedience in the Garden of Eden brought death upon all of his progeny, all of his offspring. Now that brings me back to consider something that's very important, and that is the fact that you and I are sinners, as we said, in four different ways. And that means that you and I are sinners because we commit acts of sin. But we're sinners by nature because sin doesn't make us sinners, but we sin because we are sinners. We have that nature. And then we have seen already we're under sin. We're in the state of sin. God has declared the entire human family under sin. But you and I are also sinners by imputation. Now that is, Adam acted for the human race. That means he was the head of it. And he acted for the human race, and it's on the basis of that federal headship of Adam that now God is able, through the federal headship of Christ, to save those that will trust Christ. Well, I reckon that this is a little difficult, but let's stick with it. Let's hang in there. Now, this is what the theologians have labeled the federal headship. Let me say just a word about it and see if we can't probably understand it. Adam and Christ are representatives of the human race. Adam is the natural head of the human race. And by the way, I accept that. I saw a bumper sticker that interests me a great deal. I liked it. It says, "My ancestors were human. Sorry about yours." And may I say that this lays in the dust any idea that you can be a Christian and believe in the Word of God today and also accept evolution. Adam is the head of the human family. That's what Paul is saying here. He's the natural head. And his one act of disobedience plunged his entire offspring into sin. We're all made sinners by Adam's sins. Now, this doesn't mean that we have a sinful nature inherited from Adam. Now, that's true. I got a sinful nature from my father, and he from his father, and on back. And I passed that on to my child. And now I have two grandchildren. And that first one was such a wonderful little fella. I was beginning to think that maybe there wasn't any such thing as the total depravity of man. But that little fella grew up, and I got another one. He's red-headed, and boy, does he have a temper. And I want to say to you that I now believe in the total depravity of man again, because I've seen a manifestation in those two little fellas of something that they got from their grandmother, I think. But may I say to you that you and I have a sinful nature, but that sin of Adam was made over to us also, and we can prove it. Now, this doesn't mean that we're all either guilty of a sinful act. We are. But that's not what he's talking about here. When he says all have sinned, we've sinned in Adam. It does mean that we're so vitally connected with the first father of the human race that before we even had a human nature, had committed to sin, even before we were born, we were sinners in Adam. Well, maybe you don't like that, but that's the way God has put it. We're just like the scripture has an illustration of that. You remember, we're told that Levi paid tithes to Melchizedek long before he was born. How did he do it? Well, the writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews 7:9, and as I may so say, Levi also who receiveth tithes paid tithes in Abraham. Now, Adam's sin, therefore, is imputed unto us. What Adam did, we did. Now, God could put all of us in a Garden of Eden after Adam had sinned, and we would have had a sinful nature. Do you think that we could have done any better in the Garden of Eden with a sinful nature than Adam did without a sinful nature? I don't think so. He disobeyed God. His one act of disobedience made us all that. Now, somebody says, I don't like that. You don't like that? Well, let me illustrate that again by something that you do accept, I believe. For instance, my grandfather lived in North Ireland. He was Scottish, and they fought back in his day. He didn't like it, so he emigrated to this country. He left Northern Ireland. He came to the United States, settled first in Georgia. Now, what my grandfather did, I did. When he left Northern Ireland, I left Northern Ireland, and I thank God he left, friends. I sure appreciate what Grandpa did for me. Now, if you want to know the truth, when he came to this country, what he did, I did. I was in him. And the reason that I'm born in this country is because of what he has done. In that way, Adam's sin is imputed to us. Now we are already seen that the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us by the death of Christ. Christ is the head of a new race, a new redeemed man, and the church is his body, a new creation. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. She is his new creation by water and the blood. The church is a new creation. It's a new race. And now this is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45 and then 47. So it's written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Notice, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Now, there will not be a third Adam, for Christ is the last Adam. There will be third, fourth, and myriads of men, because Christ is the second man. But he's not the second Adam. He's the last Adam. He's the head of a new race. Now, that is something we want to say that's preliminary. And as you go through this section, you'll notice an expression that is very meaningful. It is much more. What he's going to say is, we have much more in Christ than we lost in Adam. And that expression was way back in verse 9, much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, there's a great deal of much more in this section here. Now, let's look at this again. 1 Corinthians 15, 21 and 22. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, death came by Adam. And if you want proof that the first sin of Adam was a representative act, and I said a moment ago that we could prove it, that one act of Adam brought death to the human family. You say, I thought my sin did it. Oh, no. Have you ever stopped to think of why a little infant will die and the little infant hasn't committed a sin? That is a sinful act. Well, that little infant belongs to the race of Adam. In Adam, all die. You see, God didn't intend man to die. God had something better in store for man and does today.